Good evening. It's good to see everybody, and definitely always good to be able to bring the message this evening. I've entitled the lesson this evening, Do You Know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And I know the bulletin said I was going to be so aching, so I think I'm going to be preaching. I don't know what so aching is, but we're gonna get through this evening, though. But it's good to be able to bring the message. Do you know Jesus? In John chapter 1 and verse 46. John chapter 1 and verse 46. You know, Nathanael had his doubts about Jesus. His personal uninformed opinion of Jesus was, he asked a question right here in verse 46. John chapter 1, verse 46. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." So Philip gave him the only answer that he needed to hear. He gave him the only answer that he needed to hear. He said, and without being confrontational, he said, "Come and see. Come and see." You know, so we may get a question, can anything good come out of worship to God? Can anything good come out of worship to God? Or with us, can anything good come out of what we're doing here? And all we can say is, come and see. Come and see. You know, later on, this did Nathanael good, though. This did Nathanael good. In John 1, later in verse 49, Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He had a change of heart. He had a change of heart, but he got to see firsthand who Jesus was. He got to see who Jesus was. Many don't even know who Jesus is and what he did for each and every one of us. We are going to discuss some things that Jesus did. So here's just things to know about Jesus. Well, number one, Jesus meant business about his preaching. Jesus meant business about his preaching. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Mark 16 and verse 16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Another thing, Jesus meant what he preached. Jesus meant what he preached. He preached in season and out of season. That sounds just like Paul. He preached in season and out of season. He preached from his mountain pulpit as well as from the dinner table. He taught from everywhere. He also preached with authority. He preached with authority. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. Matthew 7 and verse 29. "For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Also, speaking of authority, in Matthew 28, very familiar chapter here, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And this is Jesus to his disciples, but it's also to us as well. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, we have a duty as Christians. We have a duty as Christians, and we do it by teaching. We do it by example, by inviting, by showing compassion. There's so many things that we can show to others. There are many ways that we can bring others to Christ. Second thing this evening, Jesus had compassion upon the needs of the people. Jesus had compassion upon the needs of the people. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter, excuse me, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." In verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So he showed compassion. He showed compassion and he met the needs of the people. You know, he would feed them spiritually if they needed spiritually things, and if they were hungry, he took care of that need as well. In Matthew 15 and verse 32, Matthew 15. This is talking about when Jesus feeds the 4,000. Matthew 15 and verse 32. he had compassion on starving people. In verse 32 here of Matthew 15, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And am I willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way?'" Jesus knew what they needed, just like he knows what we need. He knows what we need. We want for so much. We want for so much. But he understands what we need and takes care of it. Takes care of us. Everything we have, we should be thankful that God has allowed us to have it. Our homes, our families, our finances, the church building. God provides for our needs. Sometimes we take that for granted. We take it for granted. We have a lot to be thankful for. And speaking of thanks, I want to mention about three verses here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And Psalm 30 in verse 4. Psalm 30 in verse 4. "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name." And in Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalm 100 and verse 4. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." You know, also, Jesus healed all manner of sickness. He healed all manner of sickness. That's why he is called the great physician. He healed those who were sick spiritually and physically. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. Matthew 9 and verse 12. "But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" Sometimes we are broken. We need to be healed. God can help us through any situation if we allow him to. We can lean on our brothers and sisters for help as well. The third thing that Jesus was a praying man. He was a praying man. He prayed early in the morning. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark 1 and verse 35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Prayer is very powerful. You know, it allows us to let God know about our struggles, and we need his guidance. We need his guidance daily. We can go to God in prayer anywhere, but we must cast our cares and concerns to him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you." You know, I'm sure many of us have had have lots of anxiety over the last year. Many things that we've gone through, different types of feelings during this pandemic that's been going on. But God has got us this far. And as long as we rely on Him, He will help us through this and to see it all the way through. He will help us. We see God's patience as He's still allowing time for people to get their lives right with Him. You know, if Jesus was a praying man, we ought to as well. We ought to be in prayer. He prayed when He was tempted. And I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we're going to look at verses 37 through 46. Matthew 26, verses 37 to 46. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me." And He went a little beyond them, and fell on His face, and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." And He came to the disciples, and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with Me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, Your will be done." Again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays Me is at hand." So we need to watch and pray. So watch and pray there in verse 41, that you may not enter into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, when we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, but we still have evil desires. And that's on us. Jesus taught men how to pray. He taught men how to pray. And I want us to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 through 15. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done is in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." If He taught on prayer, then we must learn how to pray as well. The main thing is that we take time to pray. We must take the time to pray. Fourth thing this evening. Jesus was a friend to all men. He was a friend to all men. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. Matthew 11 and verse 19. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at Him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds.'" Also in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." They could not believe what Jesus was doing. They couldn't even believe he was sitting with these sinners and tax collectors. But we see that Jesus showed no respect to persons. All of us were sinners, and we still fall short even as Christians. We fall short. These Pharisees and scribes were just trying to stop people from believing in Jesus and what he was preaching. But Jesus preached the truth, and that's all we need. We just need the truth. You know, he had an unusual, what we know about Jesus, he had an unusual talent of winning the lost. He had an unusual talent of winning the lost. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. This is about Zacchaeus here. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus, like I said, was small in stature. Climbed a sycamore tree to look for Jesus. He was looking for Jesus. But in verses 5 and 6 there, he came to that place and he looked up and said, "You know, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I want to stay at your house." So Zacchaeus had the right attitude here in verse 6. He hurried down and received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. He had a good attitude. And as most of us would, if we, can you imagine to be in his shoes? Jesus was going to stay with him. Zacchaeus was willing to give up half of his goods to the poor. He's willing to make things right. And then in verses 9 and 10 there, we see that Zacchaeus, Jesus' arms was wide open for Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had salvation. It's the other way around, Jesus' arms are wide open for us at any time. His arms are wide open for us anytime. He invites us to follow him. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We each have our cross to bear. And sometimes it gets heavy, but we must carry it all the way. Each day we must choose to live for Christ and do the best that we can, because God deserves our very best. You know, one of the greatest things that was ever said of Jesus is he is a friend of the sinners. And then the last thing I believe is Jesus did not destroy those that refused him. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 53 through 56. Luke 9, verses 53 through 56. But when the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem, and when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. James and John had the wrong idea here. Jesus had to teach them the better way. He had to teach them a better way. You know, we can understand when someone rejects the Bible and its teaching because it hurts. It hurts. All we can do is pray that their hearts might be softened up one day to hear God's word and obey it. And that's all we can do. And plant a seed. It's not good when others reject God's word, but we must be patient. We must be patient as God is patient with us. We ought to be patient with others. The disciples, you know, they wanted to destroy because they were kind of rude there. They were rude right there. Jesus was teaching them the type of attitude that they needed there in verse 55. Jesus wants us to bless men and not curse them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Romans 12, verse 14. Now, if you go on down to verse 18, Romans 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's easy to get angry, but we must have a Christ-like attitude in everything that we do. In everything we do, we must have a Christ-like attitude. One more thing this evening. A scribe learned something about Jesus. A scribe learned something about Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. And a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Verse 21. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Follow me and leave the dead to bury their dead, their own dead. Jesus wanted to know that he did not want money or glory seekers in verse 20. Jesus wanted them to know that he did not want money or glory seekers. Some do try to glory in themselves, but we know that all the glory goes to God. We give all the glory to God. You know, Jesus did not want a me first attitude for the followers. He did not want a me first attitude. Jesus taught that you do not have to defy God to be lost. Just fail to put him first. Just fail to put him first. If we fail to put God first, our lives are out of order. Our lives are out of order. God should be at the center of our lives, not an afterthought. Many times we put God on the back burner, but we need him daily. We need him daily. In closing this evening, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? And the last thing, is he your example in life? If you failed to meet God's standards, we can pray for you. But if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, we can take care of that need. And whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.